Hello guys and welcome to Liam's podcast. Today we are going to be talking about two diseases. The first one we are going to talk about is coronary heart disease. So coronary heart disease, also known as CHD, is a disease where the coronary arteries are filled up with plaque inside of them and the heart's blood supply is blocked or interrupted. A test that we can use for coronary heart disease is an angiogram, and this is an x-ray on the coronary arteries, which will show the level of plaque that is actually in the arteries. The NHS 2017 states that over time, the walls of your arteries can become filled up with fatty deposits. This process is known as atherosclerosis, and the fatty deposits are called atheroma. Your risk of developing this is significantly increased if you smoke, if you have a high blood pressure, which is also known as hypertension, if you have a high blood cholesterol level, if you don't take part in regular exercise, or if you have diabetes. Other risk factors for developing this also include being obese or overweight, and also having a family history of CHD means that you are more at risk of developing this yourself. As you can see, one of the causes of coronary heart disease is having a high blood cholesterol level. High blood cholesterol level can be caused by foods with high saturated fat in them. This can include foods such as cheese and butter and fatty meats such as sausages. Heartuk.org suggests to swap saturated fat for heart-healthy fats by choosing vegetable-based spreads and oils instead of butter, lard, ghee and palm oil to cut down on saturated fat. By cutting down on the intake of saturated fat, the blood cholesterol level will lower and the cholesterol is the fat constructed by our liver from the saturated fat that we actually put into our body. A test that we can use for blood cholesterol levels is a blood test. Now this shows the amount of cholesterol that's actually in your body. Having too much cholesterol in your body means that you're at a higher risk of coronary heart disease. Another cause of coronary heart disease, as I said, was obesity. Now, Robert H. Echel, Ronald M. Krauss state that in response to the body emerging of scientific, medical and behavioural data about the link between excess adiposity and coronary heart disease, the American Heart Association has reclassified obesity as a major modifiable risk factor for coronary heart disease. Obesity can be caused by not doing any exercise or doing little exercise and also having bad dietary habits such as eating foods that are high in fats or high in sugar. They can also cause obesity as well, and eating bigger portions than you actually need. Again, heartuk.org suggests to cut down on foods such as cakes and biscuits and chocolates. These are high in sugar and have lots of calories in them, which leads to weight gain. They have a lot of calories in, but they don't actually contain many nutrients or things that will actually fill you up. They suggest to eat 3 small meals a day with 1 or 2 healthy snacks in between. Keeping an eye on your portion sizes will help your weight and your waistline under control. And eating regularly will stop you from snacking on unhealthy foods. According to the NHS 2016, if you're not active enough, you don't use the energy provided by the food that you eat. And the extra energy you consume is then stored in the body as fat. The Department of Health recommends that adults do at least 150 minutes, which is 2.5 hours, of moderate intensity aerobic activity, such as cycling, fast walking, every week. This doesn't need to be done all in one go. This can be broken down into smaller periods. For example, you could do exercise for 30 minutes a day for 5 days a week. A test that links to discovering whether a person is obese is a BMI test. This test uses your height and your weight to determine whether you're at healthy weight. The NHS 2016 states for most adults, an ideal BMI is in the range of 18.5 to 24.9. For children and young people aged 2 to 18, the BMI calculation takes into account your age and your gender, as well as your height and your weight. Right, we're going to move on to our next disease, which is gout. So gout is a common joint disease that is it's a form of arthritis that can develop and cause problems in the toes, foot, ankle, knee and hand, and also in your wrist. According to UK's GoutSociety.org, gout is caused by excess uric acid in the bloodstream. All the cells in the human body and many of the foods we eat contain substances known as purines. As old cells are broken down or foods are digested, these purines are converted to uric acid, which is carried in the blood as a salt called urate. Gout can form after eating foods such as cheese, some fish such as shrimp and lobster, as these have quite a high level of purine in them. Red meats also have quite a high level of purines, and not only foods have these high levels in, also alcohol, including beer or red wine and some spirits, can also cause gout to form because of the high level of purines in them. The NHS 2017 suggests to get to a healthy weight but avoid using crash diets. They suggest using their NHS weight loss plan. They also suggest to aim for a healthy, balanced diet with plenty of vegetables and some low-fat dairy foods. Have at least 2 alcohol-free days a week. Drink plenty of fluids to avoid getting dehydrated. To exercise regularly. Stop smoking, or just don't smoke if you don't already. Don't eat a lot of red meat, kidney, liver or seafood, because like we said, this has a lot of high levels of purine in. And don't have a lot of sugary snacks or drinks. It also suggests not to drink more than 14 units of alcohol a week. And if you are going to drink 14 units of alcohol a week, don't have all of that in 1 or 2 days. Try and spread it out. According to Yu Qing Zhang et al., 2006, a total of 197 subjects were recruited online over a 10-month period. Of those, 179, which was 91%, fulfilled the American College of Rheumatology criteria for gout. Compared with no alcohol consumption, odds ratios for recurrent gout attacks were 1.1, 0.9, 2.0 and 2.5 for 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 to 6 and 7 or more drinks consumed over the 2-day period. A dose-response relationship of gout attacks were evident as more alcohol was consumed over the last 24 hours. An increased risk of recurrent gout attacks was found for each type of beverage consumed. This journal shows that the alcohol does increase the chance of gout forming, and this links back to the NHS suggesting to have 2 alcohol-free days a week. The reason for the NHS suggesting this is to lower the alcohol intake due to alcohol having a high level of purines. A test that we can carry out for gout is a blood test, as it can see the level of uric acid in your body's blood. Most people with gout have high levels of urate in their blood because they don't pass enough urate through when they urine, when they go at the loo. Therefore, another test that we can use for checking gout would be a urine test. UKGoutSociety.org states that a more specific test is the analysis of the fluid in the affected joint, so where the gout is actually happening. The fluid from the space between the joint is aspirated, which is removed through a needle or a syringe, and then examined under a special type of microscope. This then shows the uric acid crystals, which would confirm the diagnosis of gout. That's all for today, guys. Thank you very much for listening to my disease section of my podcast. Hello, guys, and welcome to Liam's podcast. Today we are going to be talking about different types of diet. So we've got prescriptive diet that we're going to talk about, fad diets, and dysfunctional diets. The first one I'm going to talk about is a prescriptive diet, and my prescriptive diet that I've talked about is a diabetics diet. So the diabetic diet is a diet that is prescribed by professionals, e.g. a nutritionalist or a doctor, to control blood sugar. It controls the risk of heart disease and to manage body weight as well. The NHS provides advice for people with diabetes to eat plenty of fruit and vegetables, which would help manage your weight. Choosing foods with unsaturated fats, this is a big thing as it helps control the risk around heart disease. Also cutting down on sugar, foods high in sugar such as cakes and sweets and biscuits, and fizzy drinks, that'll help control your blood sugar. Now, a diabetic diet, the things that you've got to be wary of is obviously keeping your blood glucose at a certain level in between certain stages. So if you're highly active, then you've got to be careful, because obviously doing physical activity lowers your blood glucose. So you've got to protect yourself against going too low with those glucose levels. Or you can get hypoglycemia. So that's something that you've got to be careful of, that a diabetic diet includes. The sources I've used there are diabetes.co.uk. That was accessed the 20th of the 11/13. Next, I'm going to talk about the dysfunctional diet. So my dysfunctional diet that I'm going to talk about is the standard American diet. The standard American diet is a diet that is a characterization of high intake in red and processed meats, packaged ready meals, butter, fried food, potatoes, eggs, also high fat dairy products, refined grains, and high sugar drinks also. So the standard American diet plays a big role in epidemic levels of obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. These caused by, they can be caused by high carb foods, especially those with little nutrients in them. Manufactured trans fats in the form of hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils. The sugar in all forms, really, so whether it's in fizzy drinks or in cakes, and also refined flour. All these play a big role in the standard American diet. So trans fats lower HDL levels, increase LDL levels, and increase the risk of both cardiovascular disease and cancer. Now, the standard American diet can cause health issues, as I've explained. So it can cause risk to heart disease and other problems such as cancer. It can also affect your mental health with such a high amount of sugar and oils and fatty foods. It's almost, well, it's statistically almost there at 35% that adults in the US are actually obese. And this standard American diet, seen as a dysfunctional diet, can cause some serious risks to our health. The sources that I've used there are cardiovascular disease resulting from a diet and lifestyle at odds with our paleothetic genome. And that was 2004. And also Atkins.com accessed the 20th of the 11/13. The next diet I'm going to talk about is the Atkins diet, which is known as a fad diet. Now, the Atkins diet was developed in the 1960s by a cardiologist called Robert C. Atkins. The Atkins diet is a high-protein, high-fat diet where carbohydrates are restricted. During the first phase, so around the first 2 weeks of the Atkins diet, under 20 grams of carbohydrates per day is recommended. After the first phase, carbohydrates are then altered to suit the needs of the individual's goal weight. So, a systematic review of a low-carbohydrate diet reported that the weight loss is associated with the duration of the diet and the restriction of energy intake, not with the carbohydrate restriction itself. A short-term weight loss. In the first study, 132 severely obese individuals were randomised to an ad libitum low-carbohydrate diet. They were restricted from energy on a low-fat diet for 6 months, and the low-carbohydrate diet had lost 3.9 kilograms more weight. Greater improvements on cardiovascular risk is seen to improve in the Atkins diet. The triglyceride concentrations significantly reduced, the HDL cholesterol improved, and the indices of fasting insulin sensitivity were greater also. There's also weaknesses of the Atkins diet, quite a lot of weaknesses. Now, for long-term weight loss, studies show that people doing the Atkins diet who lost weight after 6 months of the diet didn't keep the weight off after the 12 months because they went back to eating carbohydrates after and the weight just kept going back on. So it also is potentially life-threatening. Complications such as a study that showed a 40-year-old woman who was obese, she complained of dyspnea. Her appetite decreased, feeling nauseous, and she was vomiting. And this was while she was on the Atkins diet. She took recommended vitamins. She became short of breath, which her respiratory rate was of 20 to 30 breaths per minute. She was rushed to an emergency department and she had problems with her blood, urine and respiratory, which shows that the Atkins diet does have life-threatening complications. My conclusion of the Atkins diet is that it works for weight loss in the short term. Data shows that people who've done the Atkins diet lose weight, but they don't keep that weight off in the long term. For example, after 6 months, someone who loses 8.9 kilograms, but after 12 months, there was no further weight loss, showing that the Atkins diet doesn't work in the long term. It's also, like we said, life-threatening, can be for some people. So that's obviously a very big negative from the Atkins diet. Now, other things that the Atkins diet is negative for is things such as digestion problems, so constipation, that's a common side effect. Because you aren't eating as many carbohydrates, you aren't getting as much fibre in, and you were eating more protein. So you should really be taking some sort of fibre supplement to keep that digestion normal. Now, the sources that I've used there are Healthline.com and Lancet 2004 and Lancet 2006. Now, I'm just going to talk about the difference between the prescriptive fad and dysfunctional diets. So the first difference between these diets is that a prescriptive diet is given to an individual from professional advice concerning their long-term health. So the diabetic diet, like I used, that was given to an individual for a certain reason, and this was given from a doctor or a nutritionist. So the fad and dysfunctional diet, they don't come from professional advice. This isn't concerning a long-term individual's health. This is something that's, it's kind of like a conspiracy. It might work for some people, and it's probably not going to work for others. So it's not going to work for everyone. It's not based on an individual. It's based on what people think is going to help them lose weight. We'll just go over them again. So a prescriptive diet, we know, professionals' advice concerning an individual's long-term health. A fad diet is the kind of plan where you are very restrictive, with few foods, or an unusual, combination of foods for a short period of time, which can lead to weight loss quickly, but then in the long term, it probably isn't going to be very effective. And the dysfunctional diet is like what I used, the standard American diet. Very peculiar, very high in fats and sugars that can cause harm to our body.